We're going to turn to God's word now and to Romans and chapter 8. It'll come up on the screen, so if you're reading from the ESV, if you'd like to join with me in just reading these first 8 verses. If you're using the Church Bible, it's on page 944, but so it'll come off the screen, and we're going to read the first 4 verses of Romans 8 together. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen. Father, we thank you for that great hope. We thank you for the confidence with which we sing those words. And help us to grasp afresh this afternoon what it means to be in Christ and to know this glorious inheritance, to know that indeed not only did he die, but he rose again so that we might rise again, that we might live with him forever. So, Father, just speak to us through the pages of your word. We ask again this afternoon for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, over the coming Sunday afternoons, we're going to be working our way through this one chapter, Romans 8. Perhaps I could encourage you this week to read the chapter right through in one sitting. I actually did that the other day, and without rushing it took a little under 5 minutes to read, a good, well worth 5 minutes of our time to read this remarkable chapter. The American pastor John MacArthur once said, "To me, this is one of the truly life-changing chapters in the Scriptures. It is a chapter that every believer must understand." It's indeed a majestic chapter. It's a chapter that begins with no condemnation and ends with no separation. And I think if you want to fill in the middle, I'd say in the middle is no problem. So we trust God. No condemnation, no separation, no problem. As another preacher put it, if you struggle with guilt, read Romans 8. If you struggle with sin, read Romans 8. If you're going through trials, read Romans 8. If you don't know how to pray, read Romans 8. If you're struggling with assurance of your salvation, read Romans 8. Pretty comprehensive. As a Christian, or as the Bible describes it, one who is in Christ, where exactly do I stand? What is my present position? Well, that's really the theme of the opening 4 verses that we're going to consider this afternoon. Of course, we cannot appreciate our present position without first understanding our previous position. And therefore, you see there, the word therefore in verse 1 alerts us to important truth that has already been laid out in this letter that Paul's written. It's what's known as a connecting link, and it's a favorite of Paul's. That is, therefore, he uses a lot. as a connecting link. Often when he uses a therefore, we find it linked to a continuing thought from the preceding verses, or certainly the preceding chapter. However, here we see the continuation of a theme which seems to go back much further than that. And Paul is saying something like this. He's saying the conclusion of the matter is this. And he points back to what Christ has done on the cross. That deliverance from our guilt as sinners, as we've just been singing. That deliverance from the dominion of sin over us now. Just take what he writes back in Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 22, where we're told this. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Christ Jesus. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. And people are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. That particular rendition comes from the New Living Translation of Romans 3, 22 to 25. What wonderful that is, what has been done, how we have been made right with God, despite the fact that the Bible is clear that we are sinners and we fall short of the standard that God has for us. And Paul now proceeds to sum up the message of Christianity in what really is this great conclusion of Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, in view of all of that, if you like, there is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Here is the central, foundational message of God to the world. And so as we look at these opening four verses, the first thing we see is this. I am in Christ. As a Christian, as a believer, as a saved person today, I am in Christ. Charles Wesley's great hymn comes to the climax, doesn't it, with these wonderful, in these confident words for the believer to sing. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head. And clothed in what? In righteousness. Divine. Bold, I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Bold, I approach the eternal throne. No condemnation now I dread. Taken, of course, from our reading. Condemnation, as used here, is actually a legal or a forensic term. And it includes both the sentence and the execution of the sentence. The evidence is in, the verdict has been given, the sentence has been pronounced by the judge. The odd thing here, however, is that the condemnation has been removed. The obvious conclusion to believing that there is now no condemnation is that up to this point, there has been condemnation. There is condemnation. That's the only reason that we can, after some transactions, say that there is now no condemnation. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 3, verse 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. If you like, that's our default position. We love the darkness rather than the light. Why? Because our works were evil. We are sinners. And so we naturally prefer the darkness to the light. And that brings condemnation. And yet, as we believe in the name of the only Son of God, we now find that we are no longer condemned. You see, a key word back in Romans 8 verse 1 is the word now. There is therefore now no condemnation. Something has happened to change what was to what is. And that something, of course, is the death of Christ on the cross. And there's no reversing that. There is nothing past, there is nothing present, there is nothing future that can nullify what God has done. And so you and I, as Christians, stand in the now. The now. Someone has put it like this. The unbeliever has his judgment day before him, but the believer in Christ has his judgment day behind him. The unbeliever has his judgment day before him, but the believer in Christ has his judgment day behind him. Why? Because there's now no condemnation. Try and process that. It's a far cry, isn't it, from the terror of Romans 1:18, where the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. The terror of that is gone. My sin is dealt with at the cross. What did we just sing? Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. I love that phrase. The wrath of God was satisfied by Jesus and his dying on the cross. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ, I live. And we went on to sing, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. But how can we know whether we come under this astounding grace? How can we be sure? You see, verse 1 suggests that it's not extended to everyone. It is to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, that's an interesting term, isn't it? It's one used a lot in the New Testament. Indeed, it's the most common description in the Bible of a follower of Jesus, that he or she is a person in Christ. It means that you, by grace, through faith, have been personally brought into a relationship with Jesus, and you are connected to him. It's what it means to be in Christ. And so there are only two categories of people. There are those who are in Adam and those who are in Christ. Those who are under sin and those who are under grace. Those who are under God's condemnation for sin and those who have been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But you know, this outstanding news of verse 1 is not simply stated, it is explained. And we see that in verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Here we see what we were and what we are now. You see, I am in Christ through Christ. I am in Christ through Christ. And that's our second point. You know, Nelson Mandela was an anti-apartheid activist and politician who went on to serve as the first democratically elected president of South Africa. He spent 27 years in jail as a political prisoner. Mandela described the day that he was released from prison as he walked from his cell to the prison gate and then walked through that and walked to freedom. He says this, "As I finally walked through those gates, I felt, even at the age of 71, that my life was beginning anew. As I finally walked through those gates, I felt, even at the age of 71, that my life was beginning anew." That's what Paul's on about here. "To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released. I can sing, I am free. Yet not I, but through Christ in me." We were under the law of sin and death. Sin dominated us. Back in Isaiah 59 and verses 1 and 2, we see recorded God's message through the prophet. What is it? "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear." Well, that's good news, isn't it? But now read on in Isaiah 59 verse 2. "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." And so something pretty radical had to be done. And now in Christ we are under the law of the Spirit. What is that? This is the new life that the Holy Spirit gives to us in regeneration. It's a theme that Matt preached on quite recently, on regeneration. Because regeneration is the sovereign work of God, the Holy Spirit, granting spiritual life to each Christian, raising them from the dead, as it were, so that they are able to repent and trust in Christ as a new creation. In other words, we're woken up and we're given that ability to see. We're given new life to see our need and to bring us to repentance. Jesus tells Nicodemus in John 3 verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So what is so unique about this? Well, it's what we read in verse 3. "For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." The law could not solve it. Why? Because the law was weakened by the sinful flesh. We are born in sin. We can't be righteous. And the law can't defeat sin. All it can do is detect it. Paul illustrates this in Romans 7 and verse 7 when he writes, "If it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet." That makes sense, doesn't it? We know that we're sinners because we know that we can't do what we should do. But it's not the law that's the problem. Because Romans 7 verse 12 tells us that the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. No, the problem is me. And the remedy to this is found at the beginning of verse 3 of our passage. "For God has done." For God has done. God did it. How? Jesus came in flesh to live perfectly under God's righteous law and then to die a sinner's death so that we could be rescued from the grip of sin. Can you see what's in store for us in this great chapter? Wow, and we're only in verse 3. But what is the result of all this? Well, the answer is found in verse 4. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We are presented as righteous before God. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel so inadequate, and I feel I just, how can I come before such a holy God? Well, I don't come in my own righteousness. But because of what Christ has done, I stand in Christ's righteousness imputed to me. The righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled in us, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or as the hymn puts it, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a savior. And that's life gaining and life changing. Because there's something else to see here in verse 4. And it's this, it's ongoing. It's the ability to no longer live according to the flesh, but to walk under the direction of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Something changes. And next time we'll begin to see just what that actually means as we go on into the next verses. It is those who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. To walk is to imply steady, gradual progress along a path towards the goal. That's basically what walking is, isn't it? Steady, gradual progress along a path towards the goal. And that's what we find here in the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because the sinful force of the old nature remains a powerful force in the believer's life. However, God has given us a powerful gift, the indwelling Spirit, who enables us to do God's will. I wonder whether you noticed in those four verses the Trinity. God the Father sent Jesus Christ, his Son, to offer himself for our sin so that the Holy Spirit could provide us with new life. Have a good chew on those opening four verses this week. Let us see our present position and rejoice that we are in Christ, through Christ.